Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique, studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
Tired of all the bugs in your yard? Enjoy your backyard again with Cutter Backyard Ready to Spray Bug Control at Menards. It kills mosquitoes, fleas, ticks, and other insects fast, controlling them for up to 12 weeks. A 32-ounce Ready to Spray container covers up to 5,000 square feet and is on sale now through July 13th. Plus, check out our weekly flyer on Menards.com for more great deals happening this week.
Save big money at Menards.
It's time to wake to sleep with Sleep Science Today, where we learn to sleep well with your host, Andrew Kolsky, on UK Health Radio.
Welcome to Sleep Science Today, the show where we talk all about sleep and the science behind sleep. My name is Andrew Kolsky. I'm your host. And today we have a guest, Lisa Coffey. Lisa is a best-selling author and spokesperson for the Better Sleep Council. And today we thought we'd do something fun. We were going to do some sleep trivia because Lisa has all sorts of information that she's been sharing with me and I think you're going to enjoy. So Lisa, welcome to the show.
Hey, thanks, Andrew. Always good to talk with you.
I love it. I love it. You have so much interesting information that I thought it wouldn't be fair if we kept it from the audience. So you have agreed. Go ahead.
It is fun. I mean, all this facts and trivia about sleep that, I mean, I didn't know about before. So it's really fun to share.
Yeah. I've learned some really incredible things, and I know we're going to share those with the audience today, but I'm going to tell the audience I don't have the answers to any of these things ahead of time. Lisa's going to be challenging me, and let's see how much I know or probably don't know about sleep trivia. So Lisa, I'm going to let you be the guide. You can be the wizard here and test my knowledge and show how much I don't know.
Okay. I feel like the game show host here. I'm Ryan Seacrest today. Okay.
There you go. That's your role.
Okay. So we all know the word sleep, right?
Yes.
You know the etymology of the word sleep. Where did this come from, this word? Do you have any idea?
Am I allowed to say the dictionary?
You can't look in the dictionary. No.
I have to guess only because pretty much every word that I know of when I'm asked the origin was some sort of a Greek or Latin root. But beyond that, I have no idea.
Okay, so it actually comes from this Proto-European base. Mm. And the base word is sleb, S-L-E-B, mm-hmm. and it means to be weak.
To be weak?
That's interesting, huh?
Yeah, that sounds kind of, I don't know. I think I'd be embarrassed to say that I'm sleeping then.
Well, I think, like, if you think, you know, when you're asleep, you're vulnerable. So maybe they mean weak in terms of vulnerable. And this is probably comes from wartime when are you going to invade? When are you going to attack? You want to attack when they're vulnerable. You want to attack when they're sleeping. So, absolutely. I mean, I don't know. That's just my guess. I'm not an army general or anything, but that's what I would say.
Well, it makes sense. I mean, I certainly, you know, follow what you're saying there.
So
already, number one, I'm wrong. So, I'm not going to have a good track record on this one, Lisa.
That's okay. We're not going to keep score, just for fun. But if people listening, you can play along with us. Maybe you're going to beat Andrew on this. You can keep score. Okay.
Then if you're listening, you're not allowed to Google or use, you know, AI or anything. That's unfair.
Right. That's right. That's right. Maybe you can phone a friend and they can listen in too. That's allowed.
That sounds fair.
Okay. So we all know sleep dates back till mankind, right? Everybody sleeps. But how long has sleep science been around? Sleep science.
I should know this one. So based on my training, sleep science really took off in the early 70s, but there was some work being done in like the 50s and 60s based on some recent reading that I was doing. So, and that's really, really, you know, new compared to the concept of health and medicine and all of this in general. So if I'm right, that means that, you know, all the stuff that we know about sleep today is only in the last, you know, tens of years. And that means there's so much more to learn. So am I right? Do I get a point on this one?
Yeah, I would give you that one. Actually, that the most data that we've got is just in the last 25 years, wow, which is mind-blowing to me. But, you know, I think, well, my take on it is we've had so many other priorities and we didn't really look at sleep as a science and see the importance of it. I think back in the day, we just kind of took it for granted, right?
Well, I know that, you know, because I've been to so many different sleep conferences, and the way that I hear it talked about all the time is that prior to, you know, the actual interest in sleep, sleep was always just a symptom of things. It was never considered an individual disorder or an individual area of study. And so it was just sort of, you know, I don't want to say ignored, but ignored in terms it was just one of the other symptoms that somebody might have.
Right, right. I think like lack of sleep comes along with a lot of illnesses. And so they didn't think, oh, maybe that's the cause of the illness, or maybe that's, you know, an illness in itself.
Yeah. And it's amazing the research that's out now of the impact that sleep has on your physical health, on your mental health, and even the tie-in now with dementia type of issues. It's really interesting to be doing the reading and following the research.
Absolutely. I mean, it seems like every day we're getting some new information, which is exciting, you know?
Yes.
And
yes.
I know people who are like in sleep studies where they're having the, you know, they're being asleep and they have those electrodes and everything else. And so I think because we have new technologies all the time too, mm-hmm, that we're going to have more information coming every day.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah. Absolutely.
I love that.
Okay. Well, and a shout out to all the sleep scientists out there who devote their time to, you know, even developing the questions that they then go and answer. It's yeah, very hard work, and we're lucky to have the folks that we have out there, because it's so new that the folks that started it are still around doing it.
I know. And, you know, think of it this way. The sleep scientists are probably staying awake to watch these people sleeping. So they're probably sleep deprived themselves.
they're
sacrificing for our good.
Yep, you got it.
Oh my gosh. Okay, Andrew, here's another one for you. So sleep affects what kind of living beings? How many living beings?
Are you asking that? I would think that any sort, I'll give you my thought process. I'm thinking it affects people, humans, mammals.
Yes, mammals for sure.
Okay. But then I start thinking about like single cell organisms and bugs and things like that. And I honestly don't know what happens there. I do believe that I've heard that, you know, for some animals, they have different type of sleep patterns, like maybe a giraffe or a horse or something.
Right.
But tell me the answer. That's as close as I can get.
So we have... it's a characteristic in complex living beings, including insects, mollusks, fish, amphibians, birds, and mammals.
Oh, wow.
So that's a lot. Yeah, even insects.
Wow. Well, I would guess it would make sense that if we're talking about like single cell organisms and things, now I'm thinking about like you know, even your blood and all is just cells and things in your body. Well, that's not going to sleep because it's
you die if they fell asleep, right?
Yeah, yeah.
They can't take a nap. You got to keep going.
Right, right.
So, yeah, but it is interesting. Like even mollusks, you know.
Yeah.
And fish, like, do fish even have eyelids? They probably don't close their eyes when they sleep. I can't imagine that. But they are still, I mean, for people, maybe people who have aquariums can answer this question better for us. Maybe there are times when they're more still, you know.
Yeah, the only thing I can think of, which is a sad thing, is when I was a kid and you'd go to the carnival and you'd win a goldfish or something. Once in a while, I'd find my fish sleeping, but they'd be sleeping upside down. That was a sad thing.
I remember, I have a memory of my dad, you know, throwing those balls to win us the fish in the big pool or something and bringing it home, you know, and the next day there's like, I named this goldfish Freckles because he had little black dots on him, you know, and he was belly up. I'm like, Dad, what's wrong with him? What's wrong with him? And my dear dad, he's, I'll do CPR. And he takes him and he starts pretending to do like CPR on the fish.
Oh my gosh.
I was beside myself. I love this fish. I'll try. It was really, that's like a good memory of my dad. He went above and beyond. Oh my gosh. Okay. Well, while we're on the animal topics.
Okay.
Can you guess which animal sleeps the least amount?
Oh boy. All right, let me think about this one. Sleeps the least amount. I'm going to guess maybe some sort of a mammal that lives in the water, like a dolphin or a
whale? It's a mammal, but it doesn't live in the water.
Okay.
But it definitely lives on the ground.
Is it like a very large mammal, like maybe a giraffe or a cow?
Ding, 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 ding. It's a giraffe.
Giraffe!
It's a giraffe. The giraffe sleeps fewer than 2 hours a day.
Wow.
I don't know. And they do it in 5 to 10 minute intervals. They don't sleep like 2 hours straight. They sleep like 5 minutes here, 10 minutes here, 5 minutes here, 10 minutes here.
They must do it like standing up or something.
I know. It's like, I don't get it. Maybe they, because of their size or something, then they're vulnerable with those long legs. They don't want to fall over. I don't know. We should ask a zoologist about this. But
yeah, because, you know, I'm thinking, I've seen, obviously, giraffes at the zoo and all, and I can't think of a time that I've ever seen a giraffe, like, down on the ground or laying down or anything.
Yeah.
And I know it's really hard for them, even if they want to try and like get water, they have to kind of lean their front legs in half.
Right.
So it must be a survival thing.
Yeah. And even like babies, when they're born, I've seen them like on the ground. But once they stand up, it seems like that's it.
You know? Right.
That's their life.
Wow.
Yeah, that's an interesting one. I don't know why they need so little, though. I wonder how they're getting that energy in order to function. But that's an interesting one.
Yeah.
Okay, so now can you guess which animal sleeps the most?
Ooh. A teenager.
You would, that's a really good guess, but no, not a teenager.
Which animal sleeps the most? Gosh.
It's another mammal.
A dog? Or a cat? Maybe a cat.
No. There's someone more. I'll give you a hint. They live in the land down under.
A crocodile?
No, it's a well, actually it's not a mammal. I guess you call it a marsupial.
Oh, like a koala?
Yes. Ding 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 ding. Good job.
Wow.
Good job. The koala sleeps the most of any mammal, up to 22 hours a day.
Holy cow. And the rest must be eating.
Yeah. They eat those eucalyptus leaves, right?
Yeah.
I You know what? I've actually petted a koala.
Really?
Oh, yes.
Tell us.
Because my husband is Australian. So we went to Australia and we went to an Australian petting zoo where I got to pet a koala.
Were they really soft and cuddly like they look?
Yes. And I think it was asleep. Like it didn't care if it was being petted or anything. You know what I mean? It's like,
oh, wow. Take
the picture.
That's part of, that's on my bucket list. To get to Australia and to pet a koala. So
yeah, they are really, really cool. Really cool.
Right.
You were on the right track with cats, though.
Mm-hmm.
Because, and when I read this, I'm like, this is weird. It says cats sleep an average of 12 hours a day, and dogs sleep about 10 and a half hours a day. But this is in addition to nighttime sleep. I was like, my cat, no way, 12 hours. My cat, 12 hours in the day, 12 hours at night, you know,
right.
10 minutes to eat.
Yep.
10 minutes to eat twice a day. She sleeps a lot. But yeah. I think that's older cats, too, and older dogs.
Right, which, right.
Same as us humans, right? The more older we get, little babies sleep a lot.
Right.
Old elderly people sleep a lot. Right in the middle, we're like working too hard.
Exactly.
Sleep deprivation.
Right. Well, let me stop you here for a second because I got to take a quick commercial break. But then we'll come back and we'll continue our trivia. I love this. All right, here we go.
UK Health Radio,
the station that makes you feel good.
Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique, studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
Radio,
the station that makes you feel good.
All right. Welcome back to Sleep Science Today. I'm your host, Andrew Kolsky. We are doing sleep trivia with Lisa Coffey, and she is showing me how much I do not know about sleep. So, Lisa, what's the next one?
Okay, well, we got another animal one here for you. So, you mentioned the dolphin. The mm-hmm. dolphins have a very unique sleep style, and do you know what that is?
They use seaweed as a mattress.
That would be cute. That would be cute. No, they actually have this very unique type of brain
mm-hmm.
where half of the brain falls asleep and the other half of the brain stays awake. So
wow.
They switch off like that. So, yeah.
That's interesting.
He said it's called unihemispheric sleep, where one hemisphere of the brain is awake and the other hemisphere is asleep. And because of that, dolphins can sleep underwater without drowning.
Really?
Yeah. And like humans, it says, they spend about one-third of their life actually asleep. So there must be some hours where both halves are awake, right?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
But somehow, I mean, I don't know how that works. God works in mysterious ways, how he created this creature.
Yeah,
I haven't heard of other, you know, sea creatures having this, like whales or anything. But evidently, dolphins are very special.
I wonder, you know, if they have the two halves of the brain. I wonder if it's like a human brain, because in the human brain, each half is responsible for different things. But I wonder if in a dolphin, maybe each half is fully capable of doing all of the functions?
That may be. That may be. We have to look into that because, I mean, like, what's interesting about the human brain having two sides is that some people are right-handed, some people are left-handed, right? Uh-huh. And I wonder if there's left-handed and right-handed dolphins.
That would be interesting. I don't know. I tend to think maybe there are.
Finned dolphins, not hands, right?
Right. Right. And so.
And would that even be a thing? I don't know. I don't know. Well, but dolphins are very, very intelligent. And I have heard that they are like on par with humans for intelligence and the things they can do. And their languaging, the way they can talk to each other and stuff.
Right. Right. Yes, I have heard that as well. And I have to get in my dig here that I'm wondering how similar to the half brain awake, half brain asleep the dolphins do, how similar is that to a teenager? You got to think that sometimes with some of the things that teenagers do, it's like you must be operating with half a brain.
Who would think
that was a good idea?
Oh my gosh. Yeah. There's some little things we'll get into a little bit later that address that a little bit.
Okay.
So we've heard about cat naps.
Yes.
So a cat nap is a short sleep and usually not in bed. They call it a cat nap.
Mm-hmm.
But did you know, this isn't really a question. Well, maybe it's a question. Okay. Can you nap with your eyes open?
A human? Can a human nap with their eyes open? Wow. I think it'd be really hard for me to nap with my eyes open, but I'm wondering if the answer is yes. I don't know. Fill me in on that one.
The answer is yes. You can be napping with your eyes open and not even know it.
Hmm.
I'm thinking back to my days in college where I'm sitting at a desk paying attention, right? But there's this lapse of memory. I think I missed a lot of stuff because I fell asleep and didn't even know I was asleep. I can see where that would be a thing.
Wow. Well, you're reminding me of this is a real thing in high school. There was this guy in my class, I think it was like Spanish class or something, and he was, you know, an art student. He was very much into the arts. And what he did one day is he closed his eyes and someone drew eyeballs on his eyelids. So when his eyes were closed, it looked like his eyes were open. It was the weirdest thing.
Oh my gosh. That is so funny. And he didn't even feel it. He was so asleep. He didn't feel somebody painting on. Oh my gosh.
No, I think he did it on purpose so that he could sleep in class.
Oh.
Because it was intricate. It looked like eyeballs.
Smart.
Yeah.
So he didn't get caught sleeping.
Right. Exactly. See, that's one of those teenage things.
Oh my gosh. That is so funny. Okay. Well, while you're asleep, most of us dream.
Mm-hmm.
How many dreams do you think we have a night?
Ooh, wow. I'm going to say 3 or 4.
Well, we always dream, even if we don't remember our dreams, we always dream every night. But we dream 4 to 6 dreams per night.
Mm.
That seems like a lot, right?
It does. It does.
Because I don't remember 4 to 6 dreams. But the thing is, it says when we're dreaming, it lasts for a total of 2 hours of our sleep. 2 hours of our sleep is actual dream time. Okay. And they're made up of 4 to 6 dreams. So there actually must be pretty short dreams. But okay, here's the other thing. When you add up all those 6 hours a night, that's 6 years that we were dreaming in our life.
Wow.
6 years.
Wow.
What an imagination we must have, right?
Yeah, because I remember, you know, when I was younger, I was more likely to remember a dream, but I would only remember one dream. Lately, yeah. I don't remember dreams much. It's rare for me to wake up and remember a dream.
Right. So this next thing is, okay, when you wake up, half of whatever you dreamed is forgotten in the first 5 minutes.
Huh.
Half. At least half. Okay. And then when 10 minutes have gone by, 90% of it is gone.
Wow.
90%. Okay. So here's another thing, percentage-wise. How many people say that they've had a dream about something that later came true?
Ooh. Wow. I'm going to say 50%.
No, close. 42%.
Really?
So that begs the question, okay, when we're dreaming, are we seeing the future? Are we fortune telling, right?
Mm-hmm.
Or is this where we get our deja vu? Like we have that experience, oh, this has happened to me before. Maybe that's a dream that we're recalling. What do you think about that?
Interesting. I wonder if it's maybe sort of like if we're dreaming about like a problem that we need to solve, and then through our dream we come up with a solution, and then it sort of primes us to put that solution into practice.
Yes.
I have no science based on that at all. That's just my wondering.
Yes, but that's actually in Ayurveda what it says is that the hours between 2 a.m. and 6 a.m. when we're sleeping, that's our like prime dream time, right?
Mm-hmm,
and
mm-hmm.
that's where we are solving problems that we didn't solve during the day.
Interesting.
So, yeah, so it works it out. And we may not even remember the dream, but it may come to us, oh, what if I did that? It's like, where did you get that idea? Well, you dreamed it up. So
right.
you got the idea, or you looked in a place where you got the solution, right? Because you dreamed about it. But we don't always connect the dots.
So how come I never dreamed that I knew the answers to a test and then went in and had the answers to the test?
Yeah, wouldn't that be nice? How come I don't dream the lottery numbers?
Right, like, there you go.
Or dream the stock market, right?
Yes.
Yeah. Wow. Okay. Life doesn't work that way. That would have to be like a collective consciousness or something,
right.
Something that we can control ourselves. Okay. So I think that's really interesting. Okay. Now here's the question. How many people only dream in black and white? Don't dream in color. They only dream in black and white.
Wow. Is this tied in any way to whether or not they're colorblind?
That's a good question. That's a good question, but it does not say. It does not say.
Because I don't even know what percentage of people are colorblind, so that wouldn't help me.
Yeah, and actually, people who are colorblind can see some color. They're not seeing in black and white. They're either like red-green colorblind or blue-yellow colorblind, so that
true.
They don't see in that spectrum, but they still see some color.
True, true.
But this is black and white, just like watching an old TV show, black and white dreams.
Well, I'm going to take a completely wild guess on this one, and I'll say 25%.
12%.
Oh.
So not too many. Not too many.
Interesting.
And it's interesting because, you know, when I first started talking about this, I'd be like, wait, do I dream the color of black and white? And then, so I purposely, like, asked myself before I went to sleep. And then, of course, in my dreams, I was saying, oh, that blue thing, I knew I was seeing colors because I was identifying colors in my dream. That's a kind of thing saying, I'm sure you've heard about lucid dreaming. We could do a whole show on lucid dreaming, which is so fascinating, but it's where you are kind of programming yourself in your dream.
Interesting.
You're aware that you are dreaming when you're asleep and you're programming what you want to happen in your life.
Wow, that's deep. That takes a little bit of brain power to think that one through.
Yeah, it's really cool. I mean, it sounds like woo-woo stuff, but there is science behind it. So,
wow,
it's well, pretty cool.
Well, before you go to the next one, this is another spot for us to take a quick break. put in a commercial, and we'll be right back. So here we go.
UK Health Radio,
the station that makes you feel good.
Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique, studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
UK Health Radio,
the station that makes you feel good.
All right, welcome back to Sleep Science Today. I'm your host, Andrew Kolsky. We're talking with Lisa Coffey. We're doing dream trivia, and I'm not doing so well so far, but I'm trying.
You're doing great, actually. You know, this, who would know this stuff?
Yeah, not me. So hit me with the next one. Let's see if I can get one of these right.
Okay, well, you're the sleep disorder guy. You know a lot about sleep disorders, so this one is probably right up your alley.
Uh-oh.
How many identified sleep-wake disorders are there? How many? Give us a number.
Oh, my gosh. Wow. I'd have to count. I've never counted them. Let's see. I'd say probably 20 to 30?
More.
More?
More. Less than 100.
We're not talking 80-ish, are we?
84.
Gosh, 84. I don't think that I've even read about 84.
Yeah. Well, some of them must be pretty minor, like not many people have them or something, you know. And I don't have the list of them. Huh. But that might be an interesting show, too, to say, what are all these sleep disorders? What the heck is this? 84? Yeah. That's amazing. That's amazing. Okay, and how many people in the United States suffer from a sleep disorder?
Wow, okay. That's probably around 40%.
Okay, give me a number.
Number. So let's see. If we have, what, 9%. About 300 million? Is that what we have in the U.S.?
So I don't even know. I'm not a numbers person.
100 million.
Close. 70 million. 70 million people in the U.S. suffer from a sleep disorder. And of those 70 million, 60% have a chronic sleep disorder.
Mm-hmm. And so I'm going to – well, I'm even going to challenge that from the standpoint that – I think that the number might actually be higher only because there's a lot of people that have like sleep apnea, for example, and they don't know it. So therefore it's not reported. And we're finding the more that people become aware of the different sleep disorders, the more they can be tested. Testing is now more available. And I think the number's going higher. So that's in my defense.
Yeah, I mean, I totally agree with you. So many people are just walking around sleep deprived. Here's another one. Okay. People can survive longer. This is a true or false.
Okay.
People can survive longer without food or without sleep.
Ooh, let me think about this one. I think they can survive longer without food.
You're right. Absolutely. I don't know about water, though. I would say food and water I would put separate. But, yeah, you can survive much longer without food than you can without sleep.
Yeah, I think sleep is like, I think it's like less than, gosh, I remember actually looking into this. And it was, I don't know, maybe like a weekish or something. But food, you could probably go 2 weeks or more. You'd be hungry, but, you know, you wouldn't die. But sleep?
Well, here's something really interesting, because sleep deprivation, when applied systematically, is said to be the most effective form of torture.
Mm-hmm.
Torture!
Yeah.
And one reason is that sleep deprivation causes the body to produce higher levels of the stress hormone corticosterone. So corticosterone, is that different than cortisol?
I don't know. I've always heard of it as cortisol.
Yeah, cortisol is like that, what makes you feel anxiety, right? Mm-hmm. That fight or flight, because you have excess cortisol and you get anxiety.
Right.
This one they're saying is corticosterone.
Huh.
So.
Interesting.
Yeah, very interesting. And it says modern society has such high numbers of sleep deprivation right now that what is really abnormal sleepiness is now considered normal.
Wow.
So we're sleepy and we think, oh, it's normal. But no, you shouldn't be sleepy.
You should be
well rested. But we have too much. And I think part of this is that sleep debt. Have you heard of, you know about sleep debt, right?
Right, right. But that's,
yeah,
that
comes with... I just did a little video about this sleep debt. You know, the difference between the sleep that we need and the sleep that we actually get. And when that keeps increasing and increasing, then we start feeling it in other areas of our life.
Yes, yes. And that's,
what do you tell your clients who have sleep debt? How do you get them to pay that off?
Yeah, well, so oftentimes it comes about because maybe their work schedule, and then, you know, the fact that they may stay up at night with, we have electric lights and things that help us to stay up,
yeah,
when normally our circadian rhythm would have us sleep. And so what ends up happening is people start getting all this fragmented sleep because of their schedules, because of the lights, because of all these obligations, stress, et cetera, et cetera. And so, you know, when they get into that situation, we work with them to kind of recalibrate everything and get them back into a situation where they have a steady, set bedtime, wake time. They're sleeping the appropriate amount of time. They've got good sleep hygiene, a good amount. So there's a lot of stuff that we do to kind of take all these pieces that have fragmented over time and then just clean it all up and get them back to a place where they're having a regular, solid night of restful sleep.
Yeah, I agree. I think it's the habits, the getting in the habits, because my understanding is you can't just like stay up late all week and then in the weekend sleep in and expect it to be paid off, because you can't bank sleep. You can't get extra sleep and say, oh, now I paid off. You can't do that, right?
Right, right. Yeah. You need to have regular, restful sleep. If you're going to function at your optimum, you've got to have sleep.
Yeah, absolutely, absolutely. Okay, here's a question for you. What is the scientific word for sleepwalking?
Oh, gosh. Hang on. Somnambulate.
Yes, somnambulism. Somnambulism. And did you know when people are sleepwalking, they can even sleep talk or sleep eat?
Yes.
They can actually eat while they're asleep. And then when they wake up, they don't even remember very much about their experience at all. They're like, what? What did I do? What did I do? Who ate that stuff out of the refrigerator, right? And then they did that.
Right. Yeah.
And scientists now think that this sleepwalking has a genetic component, so it can run in families.
Oh, my gosh. You can see people getting up and running into each other in the middle of the night and not even knowing it.
Yeah. Oh, my gosh. And I think I've heard this as a defense in criminal cases. They said, I was asleep. I didn't know what I was doing.
Wow.
Oh, my gosh. Very interesting. Very interesting. Okay, here we go. Here's another one. I know you know all about this snoring stuff. Okay, when one partner snores, how many times does the non-snoring partner wake up because of the snoring? Average.
Ooh, that's a great question. Man.
These are tough questions, huh?
They are, because I've never heard that statistic. I would think it would just be, you know, multiple times throughout the night because it would be annoying them. So I'm going to say, are you looking for a specific number or a number per hour?
Never.
Specific number. So I'm going to say probably 30 times in a night?
Close. 20 times. 20 times a night they wake up. So the snoring partner is disturbing the non-snoring partner's sleep.
Mm-hmm.
So I would say get a different room.
Yeah.
Or if it's that bad, I mean, come on. Oh, my gosh.
See, but that's the thing where...
Yeah, so the non-snoring partner actually gets 1 hour less a night's sleep because of the snoring partner.
Wow. Well, if you have a sleep partner that is snoring like that and keeping you up, consider whether or not they should be tested for sleep apnea.
Absolutely.
People who don't know that they have sleep apnea potentially.
Because that is not normal. To be snoring that much that you wake your partner up. I mean, that is not a normal thing.
Yep.
Absolutely. So we also know that snoring worsens after drinking alcohol. But do you know why?
I'm going to guess because the muscle tone gets weakened a little bit from the alcohol.
Absolutely. That's it. The muscle tone of the tongue and the throat. So it narrows the upper airway space and it comes out more as snores. Very good. That was a good one.
I get one.
Ding, ding, ding. Very good. Yeah. Okay. And also, I think a lot of people, there's a misnomer about alcohol. Some people say, oh, I need a drink to go to sleep and that'll help me sleep better. But that doesn't work, right?
Correct.
It might help them get to sleep, but then when they wake up, they're hyper, so they can't get back to sleep.
Yeah. Alcohol is not something you want to rely on to get you to sleep.
Yes, it is not a sleep aid. Very good. I wanted to get that PSA in for people.
You got it.
That's good. Okay. Are our brains more active when we're asleep or when we're watching TV?
Wow. Okay. So now I'm going to give you a technical answer because I think it depends on which stage of sleep you're in, maybe, in terms of how active your brain is going to be.
Huh.
So if you're in REM sleep, your brain may be more active than if you're in stage one lighter sleep. Or maybe if you're in stage three sleep, which is a deep sleep, maybe your brain is not very active at all there. I don't know. What is the answer?
Well, this doesn't go into the stages, but it does say that our brains are more active during sleep than watching television. Watching television is a very passive activity.
Mm-hmm.
And it also says that we burn more calories when we sleep than we do when we're watching TV.
Interesting. I didn't know that.
Yeah.
The new sleep diet.
You know, I think it's because a lot of the times when we're asleep, that's finally the chance for our body to regenerate all our cells and to rebuild all that stuff that we need to do. So even though we are inactive, things are going on, right, that we don't even know about. So that burns calories. Well, as when we're sitting on the couch watching TV, we're just being a couch potato.
Right. And probably eating potato chips, adding calories in.
Yeah, there you go. There you go. So I thought that was very interesting.
We have time for one last question. So
I still have like a list.
Come back and we'll do more.
Oh my gosh. Okay. Let's see. Okay. So here's a good one. Someone asked me about waterbeds the other day. Like, do they still make waterbeds? Waterbeds were all the rage in the 70s, right? I remember I had a friend who had one and we thought he was the coolest guy in town.
Had one.
Oh, you did? Okay. So do you know how far they actually date back? When were they invented originally? How were they used?
Wow. Okay. So I know they were big in the 70s and early 80s. That I know, because that's when I had it. I can't imagine it'd be too much more before the 50s, because they'd need the technology to make them.
Well, you'd be surprised then, because they actually date back to the 19th century when they used them in hospitals, because the water eliminated pressure points. Mm-hmm. So that they could be used to support patients with bone fractures, bed sores, or paralysis. So they were actually in the 1800s. Can you believe it?
I'm trying to figure out how they would even make it back then.
I don't know. Because they didn't have plastic, right?
Right.
So I don't know.
Rubber or some kind. Wow.
I don't know. But I thought that was pretty cool. So there you go.
All right. So now you've exposed all of my weaknesses and my lack of knowledge of some of these more, you know, obscure areas. But I've learned from it, which is why we're doing the show, right?
I think it's fun, you know? It's always good to learn new things.
Great. Well, I want to thank you. This is Lisa Coffey, and she is a spokesperson for the Better Sleep Council. You can actually go to that website at bettersleep.org and learn more about sleep. And Lisa, always a pleasure having you on. Love all the information you bring. And thank you so much for taking the time to join us.
Thank you. You're the best. So hopefully I'll see you again soon.
Yes.
Thank you for listening to Sleep Science Today and learning how to sleep better with your host, Andrew Kolsky, on UK Health Radio. For more information on how you can achieve better sleep, go to sleepsciencetoday.com. Remember, sleep science today and sleep better tonight.
Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique Studio Plus suite awaits, with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your Studio Plus suite today at livepreferred.com.